It's often considered a charming detail for a place to have ivy-covered walls. Think of the outfield wall at Wrigley Field. Or if you're not into baseball, think of one of the prestigious universities of the East. There's a reason they're called Ivy League schools. But ivy, while pretty, has some other characteristics that make it unwelcome in many places. Oregon and Washington both consider English ivy a noxious weed, not allowed for sale in nurseries. But California still sells it. Groups across the state want that to change. We'll visit with two from the north coast of California. Kim Tays is a representative from the Humboldt No Ivy League. Kim, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, good morning, Jeffrey. Thank you for inviting me onto the show to talk about this issue.
Good to have you here. We also have with us Gary Reinierson, who's the Public Affairs and Regulatory Manager for Green Diamond Resource Company, a forest products business, a company doing business in Oregon, California, and Washington. Welcome, Gary.
Good morning. Thank you.
So, Kim, let's start with you. Tell us about the birth of the Humboldt No Ivy League.
Well, initially we were a group, a grassroots group of about seven people, and who wanted to do something about the horrible English ivy problem in our local state parks. And we formed as a work group, and we work on Fridays, and then also every month on Saturday, the second Saturday of the month, we get together and do an ivy bash in the parks. And we realized that the problem was so extensive that it was time to start reaching beyond our work group effort and become more of an advocacy group. And so our group went to the various environmental organizations in Humboldt County, California, and landed with a really great supporter in Tom Wheeler at the Environmental Information Protection Center, Protection Information Center, EPIC, who then was helping us with our efforts to get ivy, English ivy, declared a noxious weed. So that was sort of the beginning of our group.
Gary Reinierson, since you're familiar with ivy and what it does out in the woods, where you've got trees that you're trying to get to grow big enough to cut down and turn into lumber, what happens out there? What does English ivy do?
Well, English ivy is a problem at several levels. First, it as you drive by down a road and you look into next to a creek or a river, you can see where ivy's come in through that riparian area and just almost completely taken it over. That's one of the problems. The other issue is when ivy does two things. Of course, it turns into a almost impermeable ground cover, but it also is a climber. And so as it climbs up these trees, it adds additional weight to the trees, and during the winter period when you get heavy rains and the additional weight in the crowns of those trees and then wind, oftentimes it may lead to those trees being much more susceptible to wind throw.
Are there certain species of trees that are more susceptible than any others?
No, it seems to be pretty much a generalist as it climbs up the finds a host tree and climbs up the trees.
Equal opportunity tree climber.
Absolutely, the other issue for our folks out working in the woods, it can be a safety hazard. Mm-hmm. If the ivy climbs up through the trees and then intermingles across the crowns of trees and the folks working in the woods, the timber fallers, go to fall a tree, and all of a sudden that tree is linked to another tree with clinging ivy, it can dislodge limbs and turn into safety hazard. So, ivy is a species that shouldn't be there. It's the bottom line, and it's not native, and it runs out not only native, it can affect the trees, it can affect the other ground of the ground plants that should be growing in those locations, and of course can change an entire ecotone where all of a sudden you start to displace certain animal species.
Oh, really? So it has that ripple effect. So different foods for different animals changes the ecosystem itself. And it grows very tall, I understand. When it climbs trees, it gets up to how many feet?
Well, it can grow all the way up the tree.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. So there's no particular limit on it?
No.
Wow.
So you'll see trees which you think you're looking at the bole of the tree, then you realize the entire tree is completely enveloped in ivy.
We are talking about English ivy and concerns about it in California. Oregon's Department of Agriculture banned it 7 years ago this month. Washington banned sales of English ivy in 2002. So the two states just to the north of California have dealt with this. California as yet has not. Gary Reinierson is the Public Affairs and Regulatory Manager for Green Diamond Resource Company, a timber company. Kim Tays is a representative from the Humboldt No Ivy League. You can join our conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. And then, Kim, you mentioned an ivy bash as a regular activity. What is that?
Well, we meet on a Friday morning, a kind of loosely organized group that gets together, and we go out and find areas that we think are of most importance in the park, particularly like Gary was talking about the trees. And we'll bring our tools and get our group together and meet for about 3 hours on Fridays, and we'll go out and pull it from the ground. A lot of times we look for, oh, certain native plants, for instance, like a patch of bleeding hearts that were being suffocated by ivy, and we'll clear that patch and go back, and the plant will be, you know, renewing and coming back. So that's really quite a benefit to getting in there and getting it off of the ground to clear the native plants and shrubs and wildflowers. And then we'll also go in and we'll take pruning saws or loppers, and we'll clear around trees so that everything above the cut will die back. And then we try to create a well around the tree, maybe 3 feet around each tree, to keep it from going back up the tree until we can get back and retreat areas, because the problem is so extensive. So we're out to bash it and try and get rid of it the best we can. It can be a little overwhelming, but we try to tell people, you know, what's worse than the problem is not doing anything about it. And so we get a lot of encouragement when we're in the woods, and we use it as a chance to proselytize and say, please get it out of your own yard, you know, cut it from your own trees. And so it's very rewarding. I think most people enjoy it. And we try to make it a social event to have a, you know, picnic lunch or something afterwards to socialize with people, encourage them to come back, because we always need as much help as we can get. So
it sounds like a fairly vigorous process. Are there a few sore muscles after each week's ivy bash?
Oh, absolutely. We call it our ivy yoga. And we have really toned arms. We say, forget the gym, come on out, we'll put you to work, we'll give you a good workout. But it's, you know, it's very satisfying to get intimate with the park, to learn about the park. I mean, you'll just find things when you're working that you'd never see just walking by. And so it is really rewarding, and we just hope other people will identify with this problem and help in their area or work on in their yards. And, you know, try not to get discouraged by it. We just have to do something about it before it sort of destroys these natural environments and the coastal resources.
Gary Reinierson, your people in the woods have run across this a bunch of times, I'm sure. How difficult is it to eradicate it? I mean, does ivy come roaring back if you leave a little bit of it there?
Well, it certainly can. We have an entire invasive and noxious weed program where we've identified all of the various noxious species or invasive species that could adversely affect the timberlands, and ivy is, English ivy is one of those species we've identified. There are others, in fact, that can be even more problematic and more aggressive, such as gorse or the brooms that we in pampas grass. All those species are other things that we try to monitor and keep track of. It covers such an area. It's just very difficult to control. Oftentimes, the best thing you can do is keep tree cover on the property and keep that area in growing, you know, growing the trees and the native plant species that should be growing. Oftentimes, is the best method to deal with it. It's very labor intensive to remove ivy, and that's one of the difficulties, as you know, she just described. And I've been involved in one of those projects, and yes, you're very sore the next day. It's, you know, it's down on your hands and knees and grubbing things out and pulling it, because this species is well adapted to growing in the forest environment. It actually puts out additional root systems when the vine hits the right medium with enough moisture and has the right conditions, and then of course it also is climbing up things. So it's a difficult species to remove.
I can imagine ivy shoulder in addition to tennis elbow from people who've been clouding this. We're talking about English ivy and the efforts to get it to not be sold in nurseries anymore in the state of California. It is banned for sale in both Oregon and Washington. Kim Taze is from the Humboldt No Ivy League. Gary Reinierson is with Green Diamond Resource Company. You can join our conversation on the exchange and give us your thoughts. Any mixed feelings about this? You can like the look of ivy, but not like what it does to the plants around it. And let's hear your thoughts. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Kim, is there any good explanation for why it is banned in other states and not in California?
You know, that's a really good question. The only thing I've heard loosely mentioned is that We don't want to interfere with the ability of nurseries to sell, you know, a variety of plants to give people the chance to plant whatever they want in their yards. And so, you know, it's just like whether or not people, you know, the proper agencies want to interfere with that, the sale of it. I don't know. But I think it's long overdue because the problem is wreaking havoc on our natural landscapes. And there's a lot of other plants that can be planted. Maybe wouldn't have the same exact effect, but there is, you know, native ginger, native ferns, trillium, violet, salal, you know, bleeding hearts that I mentioned earlier. There are other beautiful native plants that people can plant in place of, you know, a non-native plant like ivy that does so much damage. So we're going to do the best we can and see, you know, how this plays out and hope that we'll get the support from the California Department of Food and Agriculture to, you know, ban the sale and of ivy in California also.
So you have petitioned that department now, is that right?
Yes, we have. Through EPIC, Environmental Information Protection Center, has submitted a petition last week, I believe it was. I'm not sure exactly the date. So it's in the process, and, you know, we just think it's long overdue that, you know, we really like land managers and our governmental leaders to come take a look at it, because Gary just did an excellent job of explaining the damage that's being done. And the longer we let it go unchecked, you know, the worse it's going to become, and our parks and open spaces are threatened. So anyway, that's the direction we're moving.
Well, it's quite a coalition just on the North Coast. You mentioned EPIC, the Environmental Protection Information Center. There's you at the Humboldt No Ivy League. There's Gary at the Green Diamond Resource Company. There's the Sierra Club Redwood Chapter, the Matole Restoration Council, the Siskiyou Land Conservancy. I could go on and on because it would probably take about 2 minutes to read the list. That's a lot of people saying, hey, California, let's stop this with English ivy.
Absolutely. It's long overdue. This is something that should have been addressed decades ago. Mm-hmm. And the resources that people come to California to see and what we treasure as Californians, you know, is being lost to this awful plant. So, and again, I tell people, don't get discouraged. Just get out there and do what you can, you know, and form your own group, in your area, in your backyard.
Gary, I heard you trying to get in there. What, is there something on your mind?
Well, I was going to add that there is a very broad coalition of petitioners. The petition was submitted February 15th to the Karen Ross, who's the Secretary of the California Department of Food and Agriculture. But the petitioners not only include the environmental community, timber landowners, it also includes government and tribal entities, the Yurok Tribe, Redwood National State Parks, the Bureau of Land Management. So there's a very broad coalition that recognizes the threat of this particular invasive species and believes it's time to do something about it.
Is there any actual state money spent on trying to remove English ivy? I mean, from state parks, for example.
Well, in my dealings with California State Parks, and we've been working with them pretty extensively for about the last 8 years, we're told there's just a very small fraction of park money that is dedicated to natural resource protection. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact amount, but it's really, really meager. And that's something else that our group, you know, just a few individuals who really care about this, that we are going to meet with state parks to see if there's some funding out there that we can tap into to get more funding for hiring, for instance, the California Conservation Corps. They have been just great help with us, but they cost money. And actually, the Humboldt No Ivy League has put up our own money, $5,000 of our own money, to hire the Conservation Corps, and hopefully we'll get that set up in March for them to come in and help us. So we're putting up our own individual money to have this taken care of. So we really feel that there needs to be, a good hard look at grant funding out there or money within the state parks that we could tap into to get more funding directed towards this.
Kim, is it sold in nurseries on the North Coast? I mean, could you spend a whole day trying to pull the ivy out of a state park and then drive a couple miles and buy more?
Absolutely. Almost all the nurseries sell English ivy. And it's so hard for me not to want to push the plant to the back of the shelf, you know. I don't do it, but, you know. So, and we have asked the nurseries to please not sell it, but they're sort of reluctant to do that. So it's hard to do anything without the backing of some legislative backing.
I have not asked Gary Rynearson where English ivy came from in the first place. The name would indicate something, but I can't be so sure about that.
That's a good question. Like like so many different species, you know, somebody loved it from their native homeland, brought it over, and next thing you know, it's covering the hillside. I mean, the great story of how gorse got here, you know, along the Oregon coast, and then almost burned down the town, abandoned from the gorse spreading and then catching fire. So we have other species such as sudden oak death, that is a you know, is a huge problem, of course, in on the coastal Oregon and California, that is not native and is a, you know, a pathogen that is just decimating the tan oak and some of the other true native true oak species, and nobody really knows where that came from. So it's, you know, when plants come in from overseas or from even from the East Coast, oftentimes they bring things with them, pathogens that are native to our coast, and there's no natural enemies for them. And next thing you know, you've got issues like Porterford cedar root rot that is just about wiped out the Porterford cedar and drainages such as the Smith River. So,
okay, yeah. So another set of examples where somebody had good intentions, perhaps in the first place, but things showed up that they didn't intend to show up, and we have that now in the form of English ivy. Gary Rynearson is the public affairs and regulatory manager for Green Diamond Resource Company. Kim Taze is with the Humboldt No Ivy League. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.